This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the healthcare and health news channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Alan Miller, CEO of Cope Health Solutions, based in Southern California. Alan has over 20 years of extensive experience in the healthcare industry and is an expert in strategic planning, care coordination, and much more. Alan, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good morning. So tell us, why are care coordinators or patient navigators needed in today's healthcare environment?
Well, what's happening in today's healthcare environment is we're seeing this really massive sea change in a few different directions. One thing that's happened, of course, is with the Accountable Care Act in effect, we've had an unprecedented expansion of coverage. People being covered for Medicaid, Medi-Cal in California being covered under the new exchange, people aging into Medicare. And alongside that, in parallel with the expanded coverage, is most of that coverage is running through what we call managed care organizations. People might have heard of HMOs back in the day. And so what the federal government, the state government, and even employers who provide commercial insurance, they're really ratcheting down their focus on providers and health plans and saying, look, we need value, we need budgets that we can count on. We really need you to reduce the total cost while improving quality outcomes, and actually we want our members to be happy. We want the people who are paying you to care for to be happy and have a good experience. And so care coordinators and care navigators fill a really important gap in the current delivery system to help people really enhance their wellness and also more effectively deal with acute illnesses, you know, when they're moving between the parts, right? People don't spend most of their life in a hospital or a doctor's office, but traditionally, from a healthcare perspective, that's where a hospital or a doctor's office focuses all their attention. Care navigators, care coordinators, care management helps to really focus more on the rest of the patient's life, particularly for frail elderly patients, folks who have serious chronic diseases, folks with disabilities. It really gives us an opportunity as a healthcare system to look more holistically, help these folks to deal with social determinants of care, get them connected to various support services, make sure that they are able to make their appointments, get into the right specialists on time, really put together the alphabet soup of the various, all of the different prescriptions they get, all the different care plans they get some of their social services planning, start to pull it all together and really help this member navigate the social and healthcare system so they can improve their wellness. And, of course, it costs a lot less that way. The member is happier. So that's really what we're seeing today.
What role should care coordinators play at healthcare organizations?
Well, they play a number of different roles. You know, it really depends on the program. We have clients where they are using navigators to help commercial members and Medicare members who are having major cardiac procedures, helping them to understand what's going to happen during their procedure, what kinds of post-care needs they're going to have, how to properly care for themselves. A lot of the time, care navigators and care coordinators spend time with family, educating family or other loved ones or other support folks for a patient or a member. You know, how is it that you're going to help this person navigate the system? How can you help take care of them? What are the things they need to consider after a major procedure? At the same time, we also have care coordinators and care navigators working with folks who are not necessarily having a major procedure, but again, might have chronic illnesses, might be at risk for a major inpatient admission or a major procedure if they don't take care of themselves correctly and manage their illness, be it asthma or diabetes or heart disease. And so the care navigators and the care coordinators, they help these folks with something we call health literacy to really understand what is it your doctor or your other caregiver is trying to say to you terms of what you need to do, and how do you balance that with the other needs in your life, you know, especially for the Medicaid populations and some of the subsidized exchange populations. Some of our more at-risk populations and lower-income folks, they really need help from the health system to better understand what their focus is. Their focus is not losing their job to have to go to an appointment with a doctor. Their focus is having to take care of grandma at home and at the same time watch the kids. Their focus might be immigration issues or housing issues or food security.
what types of training do care coordinators need?
Well, that varies. There are different types. We have one of the things that our firm is very excited about is working with our health system and health plan partners to not look at care management traditionally as just a nurse who's building a care plan, but to, again, look more holistically and have what we call an integrated team, multidiscipline team, where you've got a registered nurse, you might have a dietitian or social worker, and you're going to have some non-licensed folks who are trained to understand how to communicate with patients. They're trained to understand how the health system works. They're trained to understand how to basically help a member to navigate not just the health system, but to navigate the social services and social support systems within their community. A lot of the training for care coordinators is, look, your patient that you're helping with, your member who you're helping to support, healthcare is going to be one of their issues, but they might have other issues they need help with as well. For instance, they might be interfacing with the medical system, but they might have mental illness issues that are not being addressed effectively in the medical system. They may have substance abuse issues. They may have other issues, again, food insecurity, et cetera. So the care coordinator's job is to help recognize these things, elevate them to the physician and the licensed folks on the team, and then help to implement the care plan, help to make sure that the home is safe for the member when they go home, help to make sure that they understand how to take their medication, help to make sure that they are also able to make appointments and get access to critical services, which, again, might have more of an impact on their health than their actual health care. And if they can get their housing taken care of, their food security taken care of, their visits to the Social Security Administration, whatever it is that they need, if they can get those things solved with a non-licensed member of the team, then it's much easier for the team to also get the member to focus on the fact that, hey, if we manage your diabetes, we won't have to amputate your foot. So those are the kinds of trainings we want them to have. Again, a lot of how to interact with members, understanding how the health system works, how do you help translate the physician's instructions to the member, how do you educate family members, and again, also helping them understand what social determinants of care are and what are some of the activities they can engage in with a member to help them overcome some of the social issues, social gaps that they're having in their life that are preventing them from managing their health well.
Certainly some very helpful information in all regards today. We are with Alan Miller, CEO of Cope Health Solutions, based in Southern California, here on eHealth Radio's Healthcare and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Alan, how can patient navigators help reduce hospital readmission rates?
Well, a lot of the readmissions are not really, at the end of the day, the root cause is not necessarily a medical problem. The root cause might be that when we discharged the patient the first time, we didn't ensure they had adequate housing. Maybe we discharged the patient, gave them a prescription, and the patient couldn't afford to fill the prescription, and we didn't follow up to ensure that they were able to fill the prescription. Maybe what happened is they actually are going to three different doctors, none of whom are connected or talking to each other. They've got three different prescriptions and three different care plans. Nobody's helping to reconcile those for the member and make sure that they aren't taking multiple medications that might actually have contraindications, make sure that they're not trying to follow different care plans that conflict with each other. They can help, again, when the member goes home or when a member's at risk, they can look around the house with the member and make sure the house is safe for them. Little minor things, like someone who goes home on crutches, have we removed all the rugs that might slip when their crutch hits it? Have we looked at ensuring that they are able to get in and out of their home? So if we discharge someone home who's not able to walk up and down stairs and they live on the sixth floor of a building without an elevator, we've got a problem. And so they can deal with and really help the healthcare team understand some of these barriers to the member, a patient being able to manage their own care. And then what the system can do, now that we're in more of a managed care environment and now that the financial incentives are better aligned for the healthcare team, not just to provide healthcare services and get paid for those, but really to be able to think more holistically about what are we doing to help this member be healthier and not have to come back into the healthcare system. They can do things like when a senior goes home, it's the middle of a hot summer, it's running 110 degrees, and we find due to the care navigator talking to the member and their family that they don't have air conditioning, they may decide to go ahead and pay for an air conditioning unit in their home to ensure that they don't come back to the hospital because of dehydration or heat stroke. We may decide again, that we find that they're going to three different physicians who aren't communicating, we may help the member to choose a physician so they can get one unified care plan, or at least to communicate across the different physicians. So these care navigators can play a really incredibly helpful role, also educating the family as to the disease state, the chronic illness, the risks for the member, and what the family can do to help them, whether it's healthier eating, getting them out for exercise, getting them into activities, helping them ensure they have the right safety, whether it's at home or various places, making sure that they're able to travel to appointments and to other activities. You know, they can also deal with the kinds of things the health system doesn't tend to deal with. So, again, if we've got a patient who is a father, got three children and a wife at home, the wife and husband both work, and the job really doesn't allow for days off to go to the doctor, they can help try to navigate. So say, okay, you know what, so let's get you to an urgent care on a Sunday morning, as opposed to trying to get you into a visit on a Tuesday that's not going to work for you. You're either going to lose your job or you're going to be really frustrated. But it's taking into account more of the holistic approach to the member's life and their needs than what has typically been the case in the healthcare system, which is, hey, come to the doctor's office, come to the hospital, we'll take care of you real well, and then when we discharge you, it's your problem.
What are some methods that healthcare organizations can use to track the ROI of care coordination programs?
Well, one of the things our firm spends a lot of time on with our clients is helping them to understand very specifically the ROI of all their care. Nowadays, it's real important for hospitals to ask themselves the question, am I a hospital? Am I part of a larger health system? And if so, what's my role in it? Or am I going to actually take responsibility for large parts of the global payment and the member's health? And depending where they choose, what they choose to do as a hospital or a doctor's office or an independent physician association, they have to figure out what their role is going to be. And then based on their role, they can look at their contracts with health plans or IPAs or other types of entities, and they need to ensure that they've got the right accountability and the right payments coming to them to be able to provide the kinds of support services they want to provide to their members. So one of the things I always say to our clients is that, you know, if you're not being paid for it, there may not be a good ROI. And it's real important for you to sit down internally and strategically look at what business do we want to be in, what do we want our role in the health system to be, what part of the global dollar do we want for that, and then you've got to work hard to negotiate that and get the right contracts in place so that you can be paid to do this work, so that when you do this work, it fits within your value-based contracts, your risk pools that you're responsible for, and then you'll be able to measure your ROI very easily, because you'll start to see, what is the global healthcare cost that I'm responsible for? Where are the savings that I'm getting due to reduced utilization of expensive services by providing care navigation? That's your return on investment. But again, it only works if you have the right strategy, a good solid business plan with a financial pro forma, and you've got the right contracts with your payers that incentivize you, of course, to make people healthier as opposed to just providing more care.
If you don't mind, can you provide some examples of how care coordination programs have improved patient care and increased patient and staff satisfaction rates?
Absolutely. You know, one of the ones we're real proud of as a firm is, you know, we work in Kern County, California. It's the third largest county by geography in the state of California. It's inland. This is oil country. This is farm country. It's actually prison country. I think there are six or seven prisons out there. Tough environment, you know, always been high unemployment rates, large numbers of low-income folks, some lower education levels in some parts of the valley there, about 750,000 people. And we went in there and worked with the county hospital to develop a network for some of the most at-risk low-income folks who didn't qualify for Medicaid at the time. This was before the expansion, but whom the county was responsible for this indigent population. Today, this would have been a Medicaid population. And we created a system for them where we connected them with a primary care home, and we provided a care navigator for those patients we thought were most at risk based on an assessment of some of their social determinants of health and also their medical needs. And then we had that navigator meet the member during enrollment, and then also work with them over time on a care plan. And if the member ever went to the ER or the hospital, they had another meeting with them to talk about what happened, how did you get here, how can we get you back out. And we actually published in a peer review publication, Medical Management, a reduction by one-third a 1/3 reduction in ER utilization for this population. That's a huge cost savings if you're at risk for that dollar, which the county was. And at the same time, it makes the hospital team happier, it makes the member happier, it makes their family happier. Nobody wants to see a patient coming into the ER for the wrong reason. ER is plenty busy with patients that are there for the right reason. And so, and the financial incentives were aligned. The ER staff knew that their facility, because they were responsible for this pool of members anyway, their facility was actually saving money by not having the ER visit because we had aligned their financial incentives for them. So it's a win-win everywhere. The CFO is happy, which is always important. The staff is happy because they're providing the right care for the right people in the ER. And the members and their families are thrilled because they're avoiding an ER visit that otherwise, again, could cost them their job. It's very expensive for them to get there. They have to find child care for their children, et cetera.
Certainly appreciate your taking the time to share that. Lastly, what strategies can healthcare organizations use to ensure that care coordinators are included as valued members of the patient's healthcare team?
Well, so what they have to do, again, it all starts with having a conversation internally as to what do we want our role to be in the greater global healthcare system. Hospitals now are learning that, you know, there is a post-acute environment that members go to after they are discharged. They're learning to stop thinking of people as patients who come in for a visit and think of them as members who you can be accountable for year in, year out. And so it's really important for organizations to think about what role do we want to have. We're talking to a hospital in LA County right now that's in a rural part of the county, and they've traditionally been just a hospital. But now they have an opportunity through a federal program to draw down to be able to provide more holistic care. They could develop an ambulatory network with primary care physicians and specialists better coordinated with the hospital. They could develop a post-acute network with skilled nursing facilities and sub-acute care and wound care so they can better manage folks who've had a hospital admission. They can develop a care coordination care navigation program to help folks be able to take their meds on time, get to their visits on time, and really leverage some of the social services and support services in the environment more woven together as a tapestry to really wrap around these members and keep them healthier. And so they're making the decision right now as to which of those kinds of services, wellness services and healthcare services, do we want to be responsible for providing? Which of those services do we want to partner with folks for? How do we want to get paid for this? And then it's having conversations with their payers and with their partners in the community that they can contract with and understand what dollars are available and model their performance out. How much reduction do we think we're going to have in ER visits and inpatient admissions and skilled nursing facility utilization? And how can we leverage those savings to pay for care navigation services and at the same time, of course, have money left over to continue to build out our infrastructure and invest in the future?
Alan, where can listeners get more information on Cope Health Solutions?
Well, we always love when people will happy to have folks email us or call us or visit our website. So our website is copehealthsolutions.org. So that's C-O-P-E healthsolutions.org. Our phone number at our Los Angeles corporate office is 213-259-0245. We also have a corporate office in New York City, but we run most of our calls through the L.A. office. Our team in New York is mostly out at our health system clients. And folks can also email us, and all of our emails are on there. We're always happy to answer questions or talk with folks, brainstorm with folks as they're thinking through, you know, how they want to transition from fee-for-service into population health.
Well, Alan, we certainly do appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best.
Thank you so very much.
We have been speaking with Alan Miller, CEO of Cope Health Solutions, based in Southern California. Alan has over 20 years of extensive experience in the healthcare industry and is an expert in strategic planning, care coordination, and much more. And once again, for more information, simply visit copehealthsolutions.org. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the healthcare and health news channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.